Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome in to the DMVR Nuggets podcast. Real and fake for us today. We are back in the U.S. Myself, back in Studio A here at the DMVR Bar and Studios. Brendan Vogt at an undisclosed location. Vogt, look at that beautiful undisclosed location you have.
Not bad, right? Whoever's hosting me at this undisclosed location knows how to decorate. Looks good.
Have you taken the sunglasses off yet? Have they been on since you left Serbia?
They have. I haven't taken this off either. It's starting to smell bad. It's not really bad.
We're presented as always by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. Use promo code DMVR whenever you sign up. You can bet on Eurobasket. Why not? Why not bet on Eurobasket, which we have some things to talk about. Serbia, what is DraftKings trying to do to us? We love you, DraftKings, but Serbia somehow the favorite out of nowhere now, according to their app? Knock it off, DraftKings. We're not the favorite. You got to knock Serbia down a little bit. Underdogs through and through. Don't put that evil on them. In all sincerity, though, we're going to have a great show for you today. We're going to talk about the game that happened a couple days ago. We took a couple days off, guys. Like, give us a break. We were out in Serbia. We didn't sleep for like a week and a half.
Yeah.
Give us a break. We took a couple days off. We're a little late, but we're going to talk about the Serbia-Turkey game. We're going to also talk about some other notes from around Eurobasket, including an interesting one to me. I see some parallels between Vasa Micic and Jamal Murray, and in particular in the way they affect play around Nikola Jokic in ways both great and not so great, and I think it makes for an interesting conversation. And then later in the show, we'll get to some news and notes from around the association, including Michael Porter, great jump shot shooter. Have you seen Michael Porter shoot baskets, Vogt?
Yeah, I saw that clip. Looked elite. He looked elite.
He looked like he knew what he was doing a little bit. I will tell you that our goal is, and I'm pretty certain we'll be able to do it, to do post-game shows for all of Eurobasket, live post-game shows. So want that people that have been following us as Denver Nuggets, you guys know we always go live. We never miss going live immediately after the game. But we're going to try to do that for Eurobasket. The times more or less friendly to us, like more or less they're going to be an opportunity for us to do these at a time when we are naturally awake, if not maybe a little bit earlier than usual. But you should set your reminders. Just know that we're going to be going live talking about Eurobasket and having all the normal fun that we always have in the winners' lounges. But Vogt, in all sincerity, man, I see you with the glasses and I see you with the scarf. Like, I walked into the office. This is my first time in the office. I have a new spirit about me.
Yeah.
I mean that sincerely. Like, I'm just like, I feel rejuvenated. I feel great. I feel happy. I feel optimistic. I mean, you know me, I'm not a naturally optimistic person. I feel optimistic. Like, it's funny, man. This trip really slapped so hard that it's still with me.
Spiritual refresh, right? I feel fulfilled on the level of the soul, brother. I'm ready to get back after it. I'm ready. Well, first of all, I would have viewed this as a lull. But now we know we got Eurobasket. We got plenty to latch onto and tap into as not an appetizer. But as we learned in Serbia, there are many main courses. The first main course.
So true.
Before the second main course, that is the NBA season.
We just had, you're so right. We just had the paprikash. That was the meal. We thought, like, okay, what's the dessert? And the dessert is actually steaks and pork and everything else. So we should be all excited for that. But in all sincerity, I really do feel that way. It's funny. I was thinking about it. I always say that I think people have to have sense of purpose in life. Like, I think it's an essential part of human existence. And I think we all at DNVR have this sense of like broader purpose. You know, for me personally, like my family is a sense of purpose. My work, DNVR in general. But having this documentary now where like the first half of work is done and now it's like the research part of it, it's given me this like micro purpose that is so great. Like I wake up and I just can't wait to skip back into the research, back into some of these things. I have to tell you, I watched a fantastic documentary between last night and this morning, because I got interrupted for family stuff, but I watched this fantastic documentary called 250 Steps. Have you heard of it, Vote?
I've heard of it. I have not seen it.
Yeah, because people were talking about it, I think, in our trip. So many things are mentioned. Sometimes things, you know, slip through the cracks. But this documentary, 250 Steps, which is on really the formation of this Yugoslavian team that I've referenced in previous shows from 1987, basically, to 1992, you know, or 1991, rather, when it started to break up, Yugoslavia started to break up. And it was such a well-told story and such a great story. And I just enjoyed it so much. And so much, I shouldn't say so much. There are parts of it, the formation of that team and how it comes together, that are going to be important to the documentary that we're making, or the featurette, whatever you want to call it, documentary, featurette, whatever you want to call it, this thing that we're making. And what's cool about it, and what's interesting, because I don't know if you saw my tweets. I came in hot today, Vote, on Twitter.
I did see that. Yeah.
Did you see him? What'd you think? I was talking about how I think I said interest in Eurobasket is going to skyrocket this summer. I might have gone too hard with skyrocket.
Yeah.
Skyrocket was probably not the right word, but I do really honestly believe that it's going to be more, people are going to be more interested in Eurobasket than ever before in a noticeable way. What do you make of that hot take?
Obviously, some of our perspective, man, is informed by being a part of something like a mutual thing that is really hard to describe. So we're drunk on that. I admit that. A little biased there. But I do think your point about, This is a global game more than ever. And the best players in the world are no longer the best players in the United States necessarily, but the best players in the world. And maybe they never were, I should say. But at this point right now, Giannis, Jokic, Doncic, many others, there's enough reason to market this, to tap into this as before. Now, does everyone in the media have the same spirit for international relations that we do right now? I'm not so sure.
Probably
there's enough to turn this into a spectacle should they so choose to. There's definitely meat on the bone. These are the best players in the game right now, and they're all going at it.
The best play, this is part of my thing. Like, part of it is influenced by one of my core beliefs with DNVR and just with how I do media. Everybody tells you how to do things, and I'm just like, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to kind of follow my heart, because I feel like my instincts kind of lead me better places than the sort of established traditions. And one of those things that I always think about is, if I like something and truly like it a lot, I can't be the only person on earth that likes it. There's nothing in the world that I'm the only person on earth that likes this thing. So part of me goes to Eurobasket. Oh my God, is that Harrison? Is it really working now, Harrison? Are you really back, or is this like a, what are you thinking? He muted himself. You mute yourself.
The mute button's on.
I don't know, man. I don't know if this is for real or not.
Well, you could pop in, I guess, infrequently until you know better. Oh, there he goes. But I think I always say, like, if I like something, other people have to like it too. And when I go out to Serbia, and we obviously have the time that we have, I'm thinking other people would love this. And these are stories like the 250 steps that transcend the subject matter. What I mean by that is, it's a great story about a group of young guys, the U19 team in Yugoslavia. It featured Vlade Divac. It featured Djordjevic, Tony Kukoc, and a whole bunch of other like legendary basketball players. And it's really the story of a group of guys, friends, you know, the next generation, the guys that believe themselves to be the next generation of Yugoslavian basketball players, coming together in this insane way. And I'll spoil a little bit of it. Their coach, who, by the way, is Coach Pešić, who's the coach currently of the Serbian national team this year. He was the coach of this team, legendary team back there, kind of grabbing the baton for the first time of these legendary Yugoslavian coaches. And he takes them up to the mountains, a la Rocky IV. I'm going to go ahead and invoke Rocky IV. He takes them way up into the mountains where they do these crazy trainings. Like crazy trainings, just like Rocky IV, where it's like, hey, we don't have equipment. We have this outdoor basketball court. This is where we're going to form one of the all-time great youth basketball teams in international competition. And it's just a great story that, again, you don't have to care about Yugoslavia or about those guys or anything. It's just the cool thing about sports is those are stories that are universal. And you could hear that story, and it might as well be about Jamal Murray's AAU team or youth team. It might as well be about Facu's team growing up in Argentina. Like, it's an experience that the particulars are different, but the universal is the same. And it was just really, really cool. And when I see, that's what I saw when I went to Serbia this last week, was everybody would love these stories. Not right. just us. They're just not told properly right now for whatever reason. But it's becoming undeniable because Luka, Jokic, Giannis, those guys are just now entering their prime or not even in their prime yet. The NBA can only look away for so long.
Sure. And it's time for this to go both ways. I mean, I see our friends in the chat giving us some light ribbon here for, you know, Americans get outside of their backyard. Now their eyes have been opened. But look, it's a big backyard. So I'm happy that those in Europe maybe feel connection to these stories. They've heard them told. This is not news to everyone, but it is to plenty of people over here. And so I think kind of closing that gap, that we treat the NBA not just as the pinnacle, but maybe the only thing kind of happening and the only thing, the place where basketball lives and these stories live and these legends live. And of course, that's not the case. So for someone to care about the game and the culture and its history intrinsically, deeply, they're better served to hear these stories, to have these stories told. And to the point I think you're making is they're still being told. We're not just talking about exactly. history. We've got guys on the stage right now ready to tell more or write more stories that we can help tell to the public. So I think the opportunity is there. And I know on a personal level or on this show level, we're going to turn our focus to this because there's going to be plenty of meat on this bone, man.
And it's funny people saying that because I've actually traveled quite a bit in my life. I've been very lucky in that way. I used to work for United Airlines so I could get free flights. So I would take trips all the time. I've been a lot of places. It's not like the first time I've stepped outside the U.S. And I know that's true for most of the people, if not all of the people on our staff. We've had people that are actually fairly well-traveled relative to the average American. But my passion comes from it's combining things that I love. And in particular, you know, obviously learning about Serbia, which is something that had been on our mind for a very long time. They played a game, though, over the last couple days against Turkey, which was equally as important as the Greece game. It was, in many ways, the opposite of it. Greece had to come to Serbia to play that one. So it's a home game, basically. And that crowd 100% influenced the outcome of that game and helped lift Serbia to win in overtime. Then they had to sort of repay the favor and go on the road to Turkey in an equally as important game, must-win World Cup qualifying game, and they had to play on the home crowd. And both crowds about the same size. In fact, somebody told me that the Turkey crowd actually broke the record. So Serbia set a record. Turkey breaks it by a negligible amount, but whatever, they break the record. So it was the same atmosphere, just inverted. And I have some notes here. I kind of want to go through it. I know you didn't get to catch the game vote. Would you rather I do the fast recap?
Please.
So for people that didn't watch, I'm guessing most people didn't watch it. Eurobasket, by the way, will be on ESPN Plus or ESPN 3, whatever it's called. So everybody will have an opportunity to watch it if you want to watch it. Games will be great. I'm sure there's pirated links out there. I don't want to go to Reddit or something. My notes. Jokic was crushing early on. My first, 3 minutes of this game, I ascended to heaven. I was just like, Jokic had 11 points in 7 minutes on 4 or 5 shooting, and they were bullied. I mean, I think I was texting you guys in the group chat. I said, Jokic right now looks like prime Shaq mixed with prime Dirk mixed with prime Hakeem Olajuwon. Like, everything he was doing was sexy and dominant all at once. And I was just like, and they went up. Serbia went up like 20 points at one point. Equally as interesting to me, there was elite defense from the starters and defensive dominance even, I thought, from Jokic. And this is one of the themes. Now, that fell off in the second half. I'll talk about why. But this is one of the things I'm curious about. Luka Doncic, a couple years back, said it's actually a lot easier to score in the NBA than it is in Europe. Mm-hmm. Like, the European FIBA rules basketball is more difficult. And for a variety of reasons, there's more spacing in the NBA. So players like him that get to the paint, it's easy to go. I have a thing I'm curious about. I'm curious if Jokic is an elite defender in Eurobasket. I wonder if the things he's good at defensively, he's allowed to do 100% of the time in Eurobasket. And the things he's not good to do that he's really, really weak at are actually taken away by some of this is rules. I think a lot of it is by rules and the ability to just kind of camp out in the paint or what have you. Maybe a little bit of this has to do with a lesser talent, you know, lesser shooting, more compromised rosters. You don't have, you know, teams that have quite the shooting power, although you'll run into some.
Sure.
I wonder if it has to do with those things, but I'm very curious to see if Jokic looks like a great defender in this one, because he's looked like a great defender in parts of their World Cup qualifiers.
That's right. He did in Greece. And I get against Greece. I guess just your point here, too, depending on who you're playing, they're not just constantly spamming the high pick and roll also. So that's – which look, in the NBA, you call the center out for – you just do. That's what you do. You call for a pick, and you do it high. So obviously we know that's not Jokic's forte. And then I also wonder about the condensed intensity, like the importance of the game, and then also not that, that this is not one of 82 coming back to back to back. Is there something where the, I think playing defense at the NBA level, particularly for superstars, becomes almost futile to keep up that effort for 82 games. Very few defenders can do that. And then you think of guys like Kawhi, who, as they added more to their plate offensively, became less and less that guy defensively. So I do wonder if in a Serbian offense, which certainly plays through him, but doesn't always just spam the ball to Jokic, and in a condensed schedule and in a form of the game where he's not constantly being funneled into his weakness, can this add up to seeing a lot of what we've sort of circled and picked out, what we get small tastes of at the NBA level, which there are things he does quite well at that end of the ball, that end of the floor, even if he's not particularly well-suited for NBA defense.
And my hottest take that I only partially believe, but I actually believe it. I really do believe it, at least in part. And that is that, you know, the NBA game over the last 10 years has become a little gimmicky. And I think the NBA knows that, and they're trying to bring it back a little bit. That's why they've kind of brought some of the rules back a little bit to like allow more defense on the perimeter. But I do wonder if there's like just more contact is allowed, especially out on the perimeter in the FIBA game. And it just evens the playing field between bigs and littles in a way that the NBA right now, in my opinion, is a little too tailored to small players and almost impossible for any good. This is why players like, I mean, they're great players. Don't get me wrong. This is not a slight, but players like Bam Adebayo are thought of as like these elite he's 6'9", but he's thought of as this like elite all-encompassing defensive big. And I'm thinking, well, the smaller you are, the more you're able to kind of guard on the perimeter without fouling. And that's just so valuable in a league that doesn't allow that trait. So just something to kind of think about. We'll see. If Jokic is elite defensively, I'm going to be insufferable. I'm just warning everybody. that's really what this comes down to. Coach, it was Coach Pešić's birthday, which I thought was cool. They could play a little game, and it's an important one. It's on his birthday, although they almost gave him a stroke. It was 16-9 at the first sub. Felt like it could have even been worse. Serbia absolutely rolling, and I tweeted out something to the effect of, like, I'm really impressed with how much this team has come together in 2 weeks, because where they started, I was like, man, this team kind of sucks. We were talking about Jokic's going to be so thankful when he comes back to the Nuggets because he actually has some talent. I no longer think that. Like, the team is really gelled, and they kind of look like, oh, wow, this team has some legs to it. And maybe that's reflected in those DraftKings, you know, standings. People have gotten a look at them beating Greece, beating Turkey, and they're like, you know what? This team might be okay. Lucic stays in, and he led the second unit, again, the staggered second unit, and he's just an absolute stud. My biggest shocker of watching these teams so far, Lucic, my guy. I claimed him. Nobody else gets him. That's my guy.
Would you say he's got that dog in him?
Oh, he's got that dog in him. There's a lot of the players on Team Serbia that have that dog in them, man. They've got a lot of that. But Lucic, I also just like the way he plays. He's got a really good-looking jump shot. He's really tall. He's really in some ways, he almost reminds you of a Michael Porter in that he's really tall, long, and skinny. And when he shoots his jumper, he elevates. So Michael Porter is one of the better shooters of all time, so I'm not trying to put him in that category. But he's just so tall and long that when he shoots, like, you need to close out hard and be ready for him. Mm-hmm. And then he's a good slasher, just has a good sort of instinct and feel for the game in that way. So I'm first-team all-Lucic fan, so much so, vote, that I'm watching him play, and I'm like, I've Googled, who has his rights? Like,
yeah, I know.
Where's draft rights? Where's this guy at? What are we doing? That tells you how high I am. Let's take a break. On the other side, we'll get to the second half, because the second half of this game got ugly. I was ready to like place the bet on Serbia. I was ready to be like, okay, I'm all in, drinking the Kool-Aid. Second half happened, and it was a bit of a snap back to reality.
Breckenridge Brewery is the official beer of DNVR, and they too have a birthday coming up. 32 years young, and to celebrate, Beck Brew is throwing a weekend-long hootenanny, kick off the fall with live music, food, beer, and of course, beer, of course, and games on October 8th and 9th. This is going down at their Littleton location. They've got national acts like Spin Doctors, Spin Doctors featured heavily at my family barbecue yesterday, by the way. Shout out Spin Doctors. And local favorites, Railroad Earth, rocking out. So stay tuned to everything DNVR for Hootenanny giveaways and updates leading up to the October 8th throwdown, because that's what we're going to do. We're going to get down. We're going to throw down. Check out the link in the description at breckbrew.com. And for more details on the tickets and the artist lineup, check out breckbrew.com or, again, the link in the description. We're always thinking Breck Brew because they're big-time partners. And you know we're always talking about DraftKings Sportsbook, because they're America's top-rated sportsbook, and of course, they're big friends of ours. Here at DNVR right now at DraftKings, the football season's right around the corner. You can get ready with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, to celebrate the return of football. New customers have a can't-miss offer. Bet just $5 on any football game. You're going to get $200 in free bets instantly. Of course, everyone can experience the thrill of DraftKings early win promotion. Get up 7 and you win. Bet on any NFL team of your choice. And if your team leads by 7 points at any point during the game, they probably will. You get paid instantly, even if your team loses. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app right now and use promo code DNVR to get $200 in free bets instantly when you place a $5 bet on any football game. That's code DNVR on the DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. There you go. There's your breakdown. 20 World or Colorado only. Use once per customer. Minimum $5 deposit. $200 are issued as $825 free bets. Restrictions apply. See terms at DraftKings.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
Back here, segment two. I want to also just kind of tease something out real quick. I walked in today. Vote. You haven't seen pictures of the DMVR bar 2.0, have you?
No. I'm hearing whispers like on the streets, but I'm not seeing anything.
The streets are saying it is awesome. Like, I'm telling you, this bar is, you're going to walk in, it's meaningfully different from what it was the last time you saw it, in all ways that are better. It looks cooler. It has so many more TVs. It has just cool features. Our studio is going to be better. When you guys see us in the studio for the first time, you're going to be like, it's the same studio, but better. Like, that's really how it's going to feel. Love close it. Enough that you don't feel like you lost anything, but better in that you're like, oh, they just improved it. So it's going to be, I'm so excited for it. And you're going to want to check, because we're going to have a bunch of events going on here over the next couple of weeks as we roll out towards the grand opening, and opportunities for you to come join us at some of our early events. And if you're a DNVR diehard, you're going to want to get down here to the bar, check it out. Be one of the first ones. Don't you want to say you're one of the first people at the bar? 50 years from now, you want to tell your grandkids, you know, I was there at DNVR Bar 2.0. I was
considering we've had like 14 different openings. People are going to have a lot of opportunities.
Back to the game. You know, Turkey rallied back in the second half. Serbia's up 20 points. You thought this was, everything looked great. Everything was going so smoothly. Micić as the initiator seemed to be a little bit less effective. We're going to talk about this a lot later on. I was thinking about this. There's a lot of role players on this team, and there's two stars. There's Jokic, there's Micić, and maybe some of the Serbian people who are more familiar with these players, but this is my read on it. There's two players that are sort of stars, like, hey, they can create, they move the needle. Other guys can do things, you know, can create too. But I mean, primary creators, there are those guys. And getting a bunch of role players to gel around a star, I think, is actually very easy. Relative, one of the easier things to do, because everybody knows, like, okay, the hierarchy is this, everything's simple. Getting two superstars to mesh with each other is the hardest thing, because it just is. It elevates your ceiling, but it takes longer to kind of get that going. And I think that there is going to be a runway. It's good that Serbia has so many easy games in pool play, because I think it's going to take all of them to sort of get to find out if that Micić-Jokic duo and the rest of the team reaches their apex, or if it's just a little bit clunky and the sum doesn't equal, what is it? It doesn't equal the sum of the parts, whatever I'm trying to say. It
doesn't add up to something bigger.
Yeah, than yeah. Sum. And sure. We'll have to wait and see. Do you have any takes from the game you did watch in Greece of Micić and Jokic?
Well, maybe the ball sticks a little bit more, right? It's not. I think the ball is popping possessions. Maybe don't always stem from that action. But to your point, that is a much more difficult thing to mesh. I think Micić is pressing his own button plenty, and he's talented enough to do it. But it's just something they're going to have to navigate. Do you think that can be? Is that a reps issue? Is that who isn't there around them? Is this something you expect to see sort of solve?
It's a great question. Can we hold that? Because it's a really good question, and I want to talk about it as we tie that to Murray, you know, here a little bit later. I want to keep going through this game, though, for now. The good news is, though, he looked 100% healthy. I didn't see – remember, he rolled his ankle and missed the rest of the game against Greece. We saw him in the hallway. He had flip-flops on. He looked fine. He played in this game, and I didn't ever think to myself, oh, he looks hobbled.
Sure.
Good news. He should be 100% ready to go white by the time Friday rolls around. The Serbia was losing the lead. And then Jokic comes back in the fourth quarter, and they're up 14. Maybe it was, I can't remember. I think it was the fourth quarter. Maybe it was the second. Maybe this was the second quarter. Immediately scores. Oh, no, the second half. They're up 14. Jokic comes in, immediately scores. And I thought, all right, there it is. Little lull. Jokic comes in and settles everything. Sure. Smooth sailing rest of the game. Turkey got in the bonus, though, with 4.5 minutes to go. And they just started to, like, really rally and start to get back into this game. I thought Serbia early on had great shots that if they would have gone in, we would talk about this game differently. What I mean is there were a couple, not ball as pop in possessions, but that pick and roll that generated a wide open corner three and guys would miss them. And it was like 2, 3, 4 in a row. And what happened was, and this is often the case, there's often a marriage in basketball, possessions are tied together. That pick and roll with Micic and Jokic was getting some open shots, but there wasn't a lot of movement. Defense is set. Defense is in great rebounding position, great fast break position, all of those things. So when you don't capitalize on the open looks, the ability and the opportunity to get out and transition goes up. And that's exactly what I thought happened over the stretch. Serbia missed 3, 4, 5 shots in a row where you thought, good possession, B+ or better possession. They miss them, and they almost all turned into fast breaks. Now, there was some horrible transition defense from Serbia, and I imagine Coach Pešić was that was one of the top things on his note, was like, hey, we're going to lose if we have this transition defense. But I do think there was a correlation there between three of the players were largely just standing there on offense, and it's hard to have a healthy rhythm there. So they all rallied all the way back to within 4 and then eventually got it all the way back to tied. And I have to say, Jokic got a tech in this game, vote. He got a tech in crunch time. I can't remember how much time was left, like 5 minutes. He got a frustration technical. And I just, when I saw that one, it was the first time I was like, are they going to lose this game?
Yeah.
Are we really going to do this, man? It got me a little bit nervous, but he lost his cool.
All right. I don't want to linger on this point too long. The technical and the missed free throws. I just want to call him perfect. I just want to say that he's perfect. That's so true. We're just 1% away.
He's so close to being perfect. Well, I will tell you, as the game wound down, it never got pretty. I don't feel like Serbia solved the problem that was in front of them. I do feel, and I hate to give one guy credit, I do feel in the final moments, final 2 minutes, it wasn't much, minute and a half, Jokic went domination mode. I mean, I think he had 6 points or 4 points or something down the stretch, set the table, just did some things, and it was like, it was an ugly, ugly second half for Team Serbia. And he did just enough to be like, hey, we're going to get out of here by the skin of our teeth. And it was a cool thing to see. That was a huge – go ahead.
Well, it sounds familiar. That's all.
It sounds very familiar. That's why I put on Twitter. I was like, oh, my God, I'm so shocked. Oh, my – Jokic came through when it mattered. I can't believe what I'm seeing here. But it wraps up World Cup play, and now Serbia wins those two games. And they're in good position, although not great, but in very good position to qualify for the World Cup, which they have to do, vote. They have to. It would be a crime against basketball if Serbia is not in the World Cup. What are we doing? I will write a very strongly worded letter to the World Cup, FIBA World Cup administration.
For our friends back in Denver that may have missed the context with the way the schedule of these qualifiers play out, Serbia is going to be missing some serious firepower here as they look to finish the deal. And that's just absurd, because if it's about Team Serbia and the best of Team Serbia, we know who should be present. So I did not realize how much work there is here to sort this out, and that it's an issue, not just for Team Serbia, but
it's everybody. Yeah. There's going to be good teams that don't make it. And it's going to be so lame.
It's going to be weird. Yeah. It's just not, what's the point of the World Cup if the qualifiers don't weed out the best. Yeah.
And then Paraguay will be in it for some reason. And it's just the way that works out. They just try to get it like all the regions to be represented equally, when clearly there's regions that have a lot more dense talent. Sure. I want to talk now some big picture takeaways from this for us, and especially for a majority of the people watching this or listening to this who are Denver Nuggets fans. You know, I want to tie it all together. We're obviously fired up about Team Serbia right now. Like, we're covering them with the same passion that we cover the Nuggets. But what does this mean to people that maybe don't feel that, and for the Nuggets? And I think it means something very important. we've talked in the past about those hallway famers. A hallway famer. Allen Iverson, first team, all hallway famer. When he walks into a building, everybody's eyes are just, it's like a magnet. You just can't stop looking at him. He has this presence about him of greatness, not just as a player, but this greatness of personality and confidence and stature that you're like, wow, that's something. LeBron James has this.
Kobe Bryant. Dev in Serbia, you know?
What's that?
It's like Dev in Serbia.
It's like Dev in Serbia. Dev is definitely, God damn it. Freaking Dev. He's definitely first team all hallway famer. Oh, yeah. Michael Jordan obviously had this. LeBron James has this where he just walks in and he just owns the room that he's in. And whether you like him or hate him, you're like, that guy knows how to work a hallway. Like he just walked down it. One of my big takeaways from watching these games, but also from watching Jokic up close and personal. And by the way, we saw Jokic at the airport. Here's what's funny. Here in America, everybody's so cushy. Private planes to everywhere you go. You know, you got all these 7-footers. These guys were right flying Air Serbia. We were in the terminal waiting for our gates next to them to get out of Serbia, and they had to hop on a flight with other people on it. If we would have flown that flight originally, we were going to take that one. We could have. Imagine if Jokic had to sit next to me, man. Like he's in the middle, I got the aisle, not trading with him. This is how it was. But we get to see him in sort of his just how he carries himself these days, and I really do think it's a small thing. I don't want to overstate it, but I do think there's this thing where Jokic, much to my surprise, different man, much to my surprise, he's become a hallway famer.
No way. No way.
You disagree?
No, well, here's the thing. I haven't been in hallways as much. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I see it. But can you elaborate on this? You're just talking gravity. You're just talking
talking when Jokic and Giannis came out on the court. This is one of the things I just kind of wanted to see, like who's nervous, who's excited, who's this or that. Jokic just carries himself with this confidence and seriousness of like, hey, I know what's about to happen. It's about to be a battle. It's about to be everybody is pushed to the limit and I'm going to come out on top. Like there's this way you carry yourself when you know all of those things to be true. And he just kind of had that, a seriousness, like everybody's talked a lot lately and it's happened so slow that this won't sound surprising, but it is. If we were to transport ourselves back 5 years and say this statement, I think the whole Nuggets team and also all of Team Serbia takes all of their cues from Jokic without him saying a word. And what I mean by that is he runs out out on the court, goes through his warmups, and he has this intensity and confidence about him that everybody's just in line behind him. Like, well, he's like that. I'm also going to be intense and I'm also going to be confident because Jokic's got us.
This is a real, I mean, it's full body language corner, but when a whole team has that to them, you ever see the way a team takes the court or takes a building and you're like, oh, they're winning this game.
Right.
And I've touched on this enough, but right after that trade, initially the Nuggets were just starting to have it. That Jokic had that presence you're talking about. How could you not believe in him? But there was the perfect balance of smiles and business, right? Business facing. And just a focus to it. So it is something that I would love to see the Nuggets actually fully step into this season. We've seen so much of the, oh, this is fun because we've seen what they can do. But I'm talking about carrying themselves like they expect it to happen night in and night out. Yeah. Behind Jokic, I'm sure that's much easier to do, but that's a really cool note, man. I like that.
And by the way, this isn't everything. You know who had this last year? The Phoenix Suns. I really believe that the Phoenix Suns became all hallway famers as a team. They took the court with they're a cocky team, but they took it with a, hey, we're going to come into your building and beat the crap out of you. And they did it most nights. And it was something cool to see. They were all business. Now, that's why I say it's not everything, because they obviously collapsed at the end for whatever reason. But it is noteworthy, though, that I don't think the Nuggets, and Jokic in particular, has had that a lot. Maybe he's had it for the last year, but because of the pandemic, we haven't had the same access to those types of things. We haven't noticed it, but I noticed it here, and it was cool to see it. And by the way, 2 years ago when Jamal Murray went down, right before he went down, we kind of had this feeling, this sense that Jokic is going to be the team's best player, but Jamal Murray is going to be the team's emotional heartbeat and maybe even their leader. I don't think that's true anymore. And if there's something really, truly great and special that has come out of the Jamal Murray injury, I think it is that Jokic has discovered this attribute in himself in a way that we just will never know if he would have without Jamal. there's a reliance almost on it. If I have that guy to do this, then I don't need to. I can lead in a different way.
Sure.
I just feel like there's been a maturation with Jokic. Maybe it would have come either way. It was just a matter of time and age and skill. But there's a maturation with him where I almost feel like Murray is going to bring those things because it's in his nature to bring those things, and it's going to elevate the team. But I feel like Jokic has enough as well that even if he doesn't, it's okay. He brings those attributes to the team anyway.
He's seen himself do it enough times now, regardless of the context around him. It can be with Team Serbia. It can be with Denver. It can be at full power or suboptimal, right? Well below. He's seen himself do it too many times not to have that belief, I think. Yeah. And as we know with Jokic, that type of stuff is more – it is almost subconscious, right? Kind of ingrained in him in a way that we won't necessarily see expressed. But I do think there is an easy confidence around him right now, confidence that can only be attained by watching yourself have your back pushed up against the wall and realize, I still got this. I still have 2 feet underneath me. So I'm with you. There's a fiery element to Jamal that I think is essential to the bigger picture. But I do think even if not especially Jamal at this point is gonna, like, this is Jokic's team, man. And it's at its best, it's a team, but at its worst, we know who everyone turns to and we know what to expect from him.
You're on fire today, Vogt. I'm loving this stuff, man. You're preaching to me. Let's take our other break. On the other side, I do want to talk though about the Vasa situation or the Vasa dynamic and how I see a parallel to Jamal in a way that it's something interesting. So we'll talk about that on the other side. As well as Michael Porter making jumpers.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Streets are talking about Ivaka TV. Obviously, it's the new Golden Colorado sport. It says everyone's trying to figure out how to watch qualifiers, Eurobasket here in the States. We're also still trying to figure out how to watch the Nuggets. That's some BS. But you can bypass the billionaire slap fight thanks to Ivaka. And you can catch exclusive content like our Serbia feature content, documentary, whatever you want to call it. It's exclusive on Ivaka TV, and that's where Colorado sports fans can find it. That's where they can find all of their Colorado sports. That's their right, after all. You care. You're passionate. You're paying taxes. I don't think that's related, but you should get to watch your teams, in my opinion. To score this deal, go to ivaka.tv/Colorado10. That's ivaka.tv/Colorado10. It's only $25 a month, plus a $5 receiver fee. And right now, Colorado sports fans get $10 off per month for the first 3 months. Again, go to ivaka.tv/Colorado10. Oh boy, Adam. This is not good, man. We've got a read, and it's a new partner, and I'm not prepped. So everyone just buckle in.
Wait, where's my shocked face again?
Yeah.
Oh no, are you serious? Right.
Game Time is the hottest new ticketing site that makes it easier than ever to score the best deals on tickets to sports, concerts, and shows. Have you ever dreamed of sitting in a seat you never thought you could? I don't know. Let's just courtside in Belgrade, Dev, or behind home court, four seats at a concert. It's possible not just through international celebrity, but also through the Game Time app. The biggest last-minute price drops can be found on the seats you never thought you could buy. If you love DNVR, that's us, you'll love Game Time. The best way to support us is by buying your tickets through the link in the description. Join over 15 million people who have downloaded the Game Time app and score the best seats to all of your favorite events.
Well done, young Vogt. Well done. Let's get in now to, let's get into this conversation. Is Kale asleep behind the wheel there? There it is. Let's get into this conversation about... Micic here. I think it's easy, and some people got upset at me with this take. Guys, my takes, I stand by them. Like, this is, I'm just analyzing basketball. I'm not trying to like stir the pot or anything. I'm just telling you what my eyes see. You know, Micic goes to the screen re-screen action almost every time, which is something Denver does a lot of. You run as the lead ball handler. Did you get it fixed, Wind?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
You look crystal clear.
You look good.
You look good. Really good.
Don't hold your breath.
Okay, we won't.
We'll do it live.
It's good to have you. We'll do it live. So Micic runs the screen re-screen action. What I mean by that is when you run that high pick and roll, he almost never turns the corner and attacks downhill. He almost always goes to the re-screen action. And one of the reasons that you do this in basketball is because you're trying to get deep enough that you put the defense in an uncomfortable position where the first screen, maybe they're going to go deep under And then if you pull up, it's going to be like a pull up three, can be a tough shot. But on the second one, they don't want to go too far under because then you get an easy set shot. So on that one, they're going to chase you from. And so Denver does this a lot with their offense, is they'll run, whether it's Monte, Bones, Jamal, whoever it is, Barton, whoever it is, they'll run that screen and then immediate rescreen. And Jokic is so good at like luring the defense in to where now they have to do the compromised pick and roll defensive possession. So Serbia, Team Serbia does this as well. The difference is Micic will do it and then he'll do it again often. Like he'll run screen, rescreen. And rather than just be like, it didn't work this time, or I don't like what I saw, or just go downhill, whatever, he'll bring it out, set it up again, screen, rescreen. And because you've already used up 2/3 of your possession, the ball never popped, guys didn't touch it, and it's not rotating. Now, Jamal does this a lot, and Jamal and Micic are both great enough players that it works so well. The Jokic-Murray offense, when they're on the court, is like 120 offensive rating. It works. It's proven. And oh, by the way, it's so simple that the ball doesn't have to pop and risk turnovers and fast breaks. The ball's in their hands. It can be a little clunky, but they're going to make something of it. And I think there's something like that with Micic. But when other players are the initiator, it's almost never screen rescreen. Oftentimes it's just screen. Lucic in particular gets the ball out of his hands so well on that short roll to Jokic. And then the ball's popping. Like the defense had to make one quick half step decision. And all of a sudden you're into that secondary action now on the backside. And that to me is the best version of Jokic ball. The quicker you can get out of any action, whether it's the first, second, third, or fourth, the quicker you can get out and just get things moving, the quicker it becomes a mind game. Who can think the fastest? And nobody on earth in basketball can think faster than Jokic. He's the number one fast thinker. So to me, I see this as Micic's preferred style of basketball is similar to Jamal Murray's preferred style of basketball. And it works with Jokic, but I do think there are other ways to play that will provide an important counter to that. And Team Serbia is going to have to figure that out. Harrison, you watch these games. What do you think?
Yeah. The first time I watched Micic, I was a little hesitant just because it looked like he kind of wanted to be the guy a little. And I'm talking about going back to some of the friendlies. But these last couple games that Serbia's played against Greece, well, he didn't really play that much against Greece, but I guess specifically against Turkey, I feel like he's just always trying to get the ball to Jokic. I really get the sense that like every possession he's trying to feed Jokic. And it just seems like there's obviously such a clear hierarchy, but I feel like Micic is always looking for Jokic, always trying to get the ball to him. The screen rescreen stuff you're talking about, he looks like Faku out there a little bit. Like that's what Faku always did with the bench unit.
Right.
Yeah. But I do like how Micic is always looking for Jokic, it seems like.
So what's interesting about that though is you almost don't have to look for Jokic to find Jokic. You have to look for ball movement. You have to look for playing the right way. Like, so for example, you run a rescreen, you're going to your right hand, your dominant hand here, and you turn the corner downhill. You can't hit Jokic. Do you pull out and rescreen? Maybe. Or do you go downhill, kick it to the corner just to keep the ball moving? And now that guy at the corner is pitching it to Jokic and it's back to him. So sometimes getting it back to him, there's one step in between getting the ball back to him directly. It's kicking it out and the ball's just going to continue to pop. And to me, Those are the possessions where the Jokic teams are at their best. And this is why I wanted to bring it back to Murray is, you know, I had heard one time that Gary Harris's production fell off in part at the exact moment when Jamal Murray arrived. And there were other things that happened. Gary Harris got hurt, most notably, you know. Maybe there was other reasons that his like production dropped off just personally for him or what have you. But there was a strong correlation between Gary Harris was this 18 point per game scorer. Then all of a sudden he was not a very good scorer in any capacity at the exact moment Jamal was rising. And I do wonder if there's something to, as great as Murray is at pick and roll, he can become a little bit more Steph Curry and a little bit less Damian Lillard. Damian Lillard is an exclusive pick and roll player, almost exclusive pick and roll player. When he gets off ball, it's almost for actions that only require one flare screen. They run that great, like pass it to one side, flare screen comes in and Damian Lillard goes here and he gets the ball right back, or they just reset the play and he'll come get the ball. Whereas Steph Curry can go possessions without touching it. He's just so comfortable being an off-ball player. And I think that Murray and Micić remind me of each other in some way, where the best use of Murray to me, last 5 minutes of a game, pick and roll, two-man game. That's it. You go to that comfort zone. But the rest of the game, try to find those pick and rolls more naturally. And if that means being off ball, it's actually great for you as much as it's great for everybody else. And it's one of the things of Denver's offense this year that I think is going to make or break them as a true title contender.
Yeah. Dude, I just love watching Micić, though. He's kind of different than a lot of Euro point guards that I feel like I've watched. It's just kind of how he moves. I don't know. I feel like he moves a lot different than other Euro-Serbian point guards that I've watched in the past. He's just like – it's tough to describe.
He's bigger. He's bigger.
He's bigger. And
he's more of a point wing, but he's NBA guard side. I think he's only like 6'5", but he looks like he's 6'7" because of his build. His frame is more of a 6'7" player.
Yeah, and he's got a good handle, and his head's always up, and he's always like probing and stuff, and he just moves really in a unique way. Yeah. I feel like I really like watching him, though.
What do you think of the Murray point, though, here, Vogt? Because here's another perspective on it. And I think it's one reason that Nuggets fans who really watch every game, whether they know it or not, feel a little mixed confidence about Michael Porter. The talent they believe in, but the, like, has it ever worked? Michael Porter's best games have almost all come in Jamal Murray's absence. And it's kind of noticeable, actually, if when you go back and remember the history, that it wasn't until he was down in the month of January 1 year where Michael Porter was elevated and then had a great run his rookie season. And then, you know, in the second season, it was in April or whenever it was that Jamal Murray went down that Michael Porter really took off. And one of the questions that is can you get all of those three guys together? And I honestly think the way that you get all of them operating, and Aaron Gordon and Bones and all the other players on the roster, the way you get them is to get the ball out of Murray's hands a little bit more and more just like, hey, we're going to need you off ball using your gravity the way Steph does. I feel like it's a core concept the Nuggets are going to have to figure out this year.
I do agree with that. And then I guess you're sort of – the Murray on ball thing is almost a card in your back pocket for crunch time, right? Where you feel far more inclined to spam that and keep the ball in the guys you trust, the hands of the guys you trust. But I agree that – this team at full strength at its best will actually, I mean, who knows? Maybe the answer is just get the ball to Jokic every time. But just, I think just moving the ball, you will find an opportunity without necessarily making a concerted effort to make it about player X or player Y or player Z. Those games that they looked so dominant in when they were healthy, I'll hit this point as hard as I have to. It was not Jamal scored 50 or Jokic scored 50 or Porter scored 30. It just wasn't. They were playing ball and they were too hard to guard. So if that's the identity they got to spend 82 games getting back to, because for varying reasons, they've had to reduce themselves to something else of late. But at their healthiest, you're absolutely right about what it looks like.
And this is a really good point, that part of what was so exciting about those short games, those 5-6 games or whatever, part of what was so encouraging is that it felt like that happened naturally for the first time, that the Murray, Porter, Jokic part all was coming together. And some of that had to do with the fact that Aaron Gordon is so big that there just was mismatches nonstop. Like one Gordon or Porter had a mismatch almost on every time down. So no matter what action you had, you were already starting from an advantage and you could get the ball to him. The thing you said earlier, though, about maybe that's your back pocket for final 5 minutes, or I think you said clutch time. The thing about clutch time is it happens all throughout the game, not just the last 5 minutes. I think last five minutes, you're going to go to your bread and butter. You're going to have built-in actions, but you're going to go to that pick and roll where the ball's there a lot. You're also going to go to it in moments out of timeouts when it's like, hey, other team went on a run. Let's go to our comfort zone for one or two plays and let those guys cook. But you're also going to go to it at the end of shot clocks. Okay, we just ran an action. We effed up. Nothing good came of it. 8 seconds on the clock. Murray's got the ball. Here we go. So to me, it's not that you're going to take away that action. It's actually Denver's best action. It's just that the ability to not have to go to your best action all the time is a real strength for any team. And I think it's something that the Golden State Warriors have learned, that they have their A-plus actions, but they don't run it all the time. They have other things. And then when they need it, boom, they got it right there. Or if you get into a playoff series like they did with Denver and say, you know what, we can't beat them with all our traditional stuff. Let's go spread pick and roll, which we don't like to do, but you have that in your back pocket. So I just, to me, Denver's best version is going to mirror that. And I think it's really fitting that Jokic has a player in Micic that reminds me of those same, that same obstacle with Jamal. And it's just another example and another opportunity for him to sort of grow and learn from this, to lead both Serbia and Nuggets. Yeah. Lastly, before we get out of here, we did get a great video of Michael Porter just draining threes today. I vote Michael Porter highlight mixtapes are your wheelhouse here. What do you have to say for yourself?
This one, I'm of two minds of this one, right? On one hand, everyone knows that Michael Porter Jr. can hit 27 of 28.
Mute that for me, Kale. It's a little loud.
If you on the other, did you guys watch this, the full thing? I mean, I didn't. I actually didn't either.
Yeah.
I did. Because what I was reminded of was that it came up at some point in this offseason. I'm trying to remember when. Is Michael Porter Jr. like a good shooter? Is he a great shooter?
No, it's is he an above average shooter?
Yeah.
What?
I'm going to say he's an elite shooter, fellas. And last season going into the season, my bold prediction for Porter is that he would lead the league in 3-point percentage. He got back surgery. I don't know if you guys remember.
So I didn't nail that one.
Yeah. But I'm running it back. The baseline is one of the very best shooters in the NBA. And this fellow will be open. And I know this video doesn't show you the defense. It doesn't guarantee you he'll be healthy. But what's my favorite word? It's a reminder. It's a reminder, fellas.
Here's the thing, Vote.
Yeah.
How open he is on these shots, it's about how open he's going to be in the Nuggets offense.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, if we're being honest, like, he's going to have shots this wide open. You guys are going to hate me for this take. I'm kind of over these videos.
Get out of here. You are so boring, Harrison.
I love it. I'm happy he's in the gym. I love that he's still got his shot. I'm happy he's confident in it. Like, he looks great. It's awesome. I just want to see them play already. I want to see him in a game, man.
I'm ready for that.
What's more impressive, this or because what did Bones make, like 25 or 26 in a row? But they were all from the same spot. Michael Porter's moving all around the court. He missed one. I'm so bummed he missed one. But like, what's more impressive? Part of what's so cool about this is then you have Jamal Murray, you got KCP. Like, the Nuggets have some for real shooters on the roster.
You got Jack White, who holds the record in that one drill.
Yeah.
Hey. Someone replied to my quote tweet of that, and they said, all right, he's a good shooter. I expect him to make this. Now let's run this back with a defender in his face. Guys, we did that. He shot like 43%.
It's so funny when people say that. He shot a lot of contested threes. They're not contested on him.
They're not. That's how he shoots.
There's been this graphic floating around. I forget who put it out. Sorry. But it shows like shot quality, you know, 3-point percentage. And his Michael Porter Jr.'s shot quality last year was an F. but his 3-point percentage was an A plus.
Yeah, man. It's so, look, everyone knows the questions remaining, how it looks in terms of chemistry, how much can he have the ball in his hands? Does he need to? Will he stay healthy? The defense? Yeah. But do not kid yourselves and do not forget for a second how talented this young man is and why we're so excited for the return of not just Jamal Murray, but Michael Porter Jr. If he is healthy, he is the guy who can potentially put them from a contender to a team that gives you nightmares. So I'm so ready.
I love it. Cue that outro. Oh, we don't have outro music on StreamYard, do we? This was a fun show. This was a really fun one. It's good to be back. Even though I have two of the three of us here in undisclosed locations, but it was good to be back just in general, and back on the show, kind of getting things back to normal. Eurobasket is obviously the talk of the, go ahead.
I have to apologize. I owe you and I owe the people watching an apology before we get out of here.
Oh no.
All right. So you guys got back home or wins wherever he is. I'm sure you took it easy. The party had kept going for me. I've been to a concert.
We noticed. Oh, yeah. Actually, you're right. Everybody tune in here. This is a real apology.
Two college reunions. I may have gotten a little too
two
loose.
Two college reunions? What?
I may have gotten a little too loose last night. Different forms. But I use the term smuggets.
You son of a, I'm not even joking. I'm like legitimately upset about this. I'm glad that you brought it up. This is very noble of you. Very noble.
I owe you guys an apology because, first of all, that word has only brought us bad things. But Adam,
the,
worst things. But Adam, as you reminded me, Denver, much like our friends in Serbia, they can never be the favorites, but I'm not sure they want to either. We're the underdogs. I'm retiring Smuggets. I'm really sorry, guys. This is why I need Adam to chaperone me on these trips. I can't.
Yeah, you can't be trusted.
You flew too close to the sun, man. It happens. We were walking off the court at Stark Arena. I myself tweeted this trip was perfect.
Yeah.
And nothing but 2 minutes later was the flight canceled. It was a real, like, it was the most, I don't believe in karma in that way or anything, but it was the most I was like, oh man, my bad. Like, what did I just do? I cursed ourselves. So you last night had a little trip up. I had a trip up. Like, you owned it, Vogt. That's the important thing, is that you owned it.
I'm sorry.
And hopefully the basketball gods will be a little forgiving.
If somebody uses that word, I'm not even going to say it. If somebody uses that word, they're off the show immediately.
Like, they should be kicked out.
You're done. We can't risk it.
You know? If you guys are wondering which of the DNVR Nuggets tweets are coming from a very intoxicated Brendan Vogt, they're the ones that appear at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
4 a.m. tweets. You can guess that Vogt is probably feeling America himself time. Too much.
My bad.
It happens. Everybody, thank you so much for joining us along on this edition. We're going to be back all week. And as I mentioned, set your watches. We're going to be doing winners lounges for Eurobasket all the way through, and I can't wait for it. We're going to ride along with you. And then after that, preseason. See everybody then.